Okay, now let's get serious. Peter, could you get serious, man? All right, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Would you put those on the screen, please? It says this. Are you there? Is everyone there? All right. I guess I better pray after all that. Get us back into the mindset of getting into the Word. Father, we do pray your blessing right now on this time of getting into your Word. Father, I ask for your anointing to be heavy on all of us right now to prepare our hearts to receive your Word. I pray that my heart would be prepared right now, Father God, to receive the moving of the Holy Spirit upon me to direct my teaching right now, Father. Father, I want to move by your Spirit right now as I'm teaching. This is such a beautiful yet powerfully important message. I want to move, Father, in a prophetic way right now by your Spirit. So I pray for that, Lord. And I receive that in the name of Jesus. And I pray for the hearts of everyone here, Father, that they would, their minds and their hearts would be prepared right now by your Spirit to receive this engrafted word which is able to save their souls. In Jesus' name, amen. I beseech you, therefore, Paul starts off, I beseech you, very strong language, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God. By the mercies of God. So listen, he's not saying by the wrath of God, and I love that. He's not trying to encourage you based on the wrath of God. He's encouraging you based on the goodness of God. By the goodness of God. He says, I beseech you, listen to me. What I'm about to tell you, listen to the language. He's trying to say, this is very serious what I'm about to tell you. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to the Lord. So the first thing, there's three things in these two verses that Paul is telling us to do. Three things we must do. Number one, that we present ourselves a living sacrifice to the Lord. We talked about this a little bit the last time I was teaching, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but as a reminder, I just want to say, consider what a sacrifice is. Paul is drawing on, he's talking to the Jews, and he's drawing on the fact that they understand the sacrifices. They've lived in this culture of sacrifices, which is where an animal's life is taken from them, and that animal is laid on the altar as a sacrifice to the Lord. It's a complete and utter giving of oneself to the Lord. I mean, how many of you realize that animal is not half committed in that process? The animal is completely given to the Lord, wholly given to the Lord. And this is what he's saying to us, that we should wholly give ourselves to the Lord, just as the Lord wholly gave himself to us. The Lord did not partially give himself to us. He's not busy with other things. And by the way, let me do something over here for you guys, but I'm really kind of busy. I got 72 other planets that I'm working on and other universes, and I have all these people. It's us. We're everything to him. And he came here himself and gave himself wholly to us. And he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies, by his goodness, that you present yourselves, your bodies, a living sacrifice. And then he goes on to say, which is your reasonable. That word in the Greek is logical. It's logios. It means logical. It's your logical service. Your reasonable service that you would do for such a great king. Now, the difference between us being a sacrifice and the animal sacrifices is that they were killed. And so once they went on the altar, they stayed there. But he refers to us as a living sacrifice. And the problem with a living sacrifice is it constantly wants to crawl off the altar. And so the point being here is that this is not a one-time deal. This is a daily and oftentimes minute by minute or hour by hour process that you and I have to do. We must continually give ourselves to the Lord. You know, we live in a world that is just doing everything it can to pull us away from this wholehearted giving ourselves to the Lord. Our flesh fights us. Our mind fights us. All the information of this world system, the Bible talks about a sway of the enemy that is in our world system, drawing us away from the Lord. So we must make a daily effort. We all have to do this. I have to do it every single day of my life. I need to remind myself and talk to my heart. I need to go before the Lord. I commit myself to the Lord daily. So we are a living sacrifice, meaning we need to do this constantly. So it's just important to know that it's not a one-time event. Now, you would think that that would be enough. If someone wholly gives themselves to the Lord, that should be enough. I mean, if you've really, truly, wholly, I'm talking about wholly given yourself to the Lord, you would think that that would be sufficient to be able to walk out this walk that we're called to. I mean, think about that. I'm talking about you completely give yourself to the Lord. I'm yours, Lord. Anything you say, I will do. I am yours. I completely surrender my life to you, Father. I don't care about anything that I would want in this life. I lay it all down. Lord, I am yours. Do with me as you will. And you genuinely do that, and you genuinely mean it, and you stay in that position. You would think that would be enough, but it isn't. There are many people who are truly dedicated. I mean, absolutely have sold out. They're dedicated, sold out their lives to serving the Lord. Especially think about people like missionaries who are going into the most remote places, horrible conditions, and they're there for 20 years and 30 years. I mean, they let their life go. They gave up their life to serve the Lord. And yet, as I've read stories, heard stories about many of these people, one thing I've noticed when I read a lot of it, even though I'm completely, I'm moved by their dedication, no question. So this is not to take away from the dedication part. Don't take what I'm about to say as a diminishing of that part. Not one ounce. Like, may to, you know, God, that I would give myself to the Lord like some of these people have given themselves to the Lord. I read that and I'm motivated. God, help me to be like that. Help me to give myself that wholly to you. I mean, sometimes I feel like I've given myself wholly to the Lord, and then I read these stories and I realize I'm a pauper by comparison to the richness they have in their relationship with the Lord. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not taken away from that at all. But I also read in the stories of their life, as I read through, I realize much of the suffering that they experience in their life is completely unnecessary. But they just don't know it. They don't know it. There is provision from God for all of his children in any situation. God is ready, desiring to meet every need that we have. And so to be in situations like that and you're starving, you're unable to feed the people that you're with, but you're loving them, you're ministering Christ to them, you're sharing in their sufferings, you're there living the life that they're living. Even though it's wonderful, I promise you from the Word of God, there's so much more that God would have that person doing in that they could be experiencing in their life. Losing loved ones through sickness and disease, be financially destitute, unable to feed the people around them. They just enter into the poverty with them and love them in their poverty. Think about it this way. I was just thinking, I could just start giving you scriptures that would say, that would show you that's not what God desires. But then I just have a simpler way to say it. Look at Jesus. Look at his life. Is there any point along the way, even though he gave up everything, Literally gave up everything. I mean, he even said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He gave it all up to walk with the Lord. And yet, was he ever going hungry? Was he sick? Did he ever come to the poor and have no ability to meet their needs? He could be out in the desert with nothing around that could provide food and looks and says, what do we have? There's over 5,000 people there, and there's a child who has 2 fish and 3 pieces of bread. And he says, it is enough. And he takes that bread and lifts it up to the Lord, and with that feeds the multitudes such that he takes up 7 baskets full of fragments afterwards. And the next time he does it, 12 baskets full. There is a place of supernatural provision that he knew was readily available to him. And he called on it at all times. He was never without a need being met. Even when the taxes needed to be paid and Peter came to him, he said, Peter, go fish. And when you pull up the fish, there'll be a gold coin in the mouth. Go and pay both yours and my taxes. Supernatural provision. Anywhere he went, he told his own disciples, when you go into the cities, take neither money bag nor extra cloak with you. And he said, God will take care of you. You'll have supernatural provision everywhere you go. This provision is available to us. Sickness and disease, he says, where you go, raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out demons. This is what we're supposed to be operating in. So this is why Paul says, give yourself to the Lord wholly. And, notice the next word, and. You know what and is? It's a conjunction, right? It's linking. He's not done yet. It links 2 sentences together or 2 paragraphs together. And there's something else we need to do, and it's 2 things. 1, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When we get transformed by the renewing of our mind, which means learning all that God has to say, learning what the kingdom of God has available to us, then and only then will we be able to prove the true will of God in this earth. Then we will be able to show forth and prove to the world the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, that I could give example after example in my own life where there were times in my walking with the Lord where I was not, well, let me just take a real basic one because I think it's an easy one to get, and that's financially. But this could be across any area. It could have to do with joy, walking in the joy of the Lord, walking in the love of the Lord, walking in the power of the Lord. But finances is something that's easy to understand because you either have money or you don't have money, right? So I'm walking with the Lord for a year on fire, 100% sold out to the Lord. No one could tell me otherwise. I know where I was. I was so excited for God. All I wanted to know was God, right? And I'm meditating in the Word every single day. But I was raised in such a way, the religious background that I had taught really against wealth. Basically, riches was equivalent to, heathenism, and poverty is equivalent to spirituality. I mean, it's prevalent in a lot of religions. It's just like, you know, this idea of, I mean, God's not interested in money at all. He's interested in spiritual things. And so I had that mentality. And when I gave my life to the Lord, man, I gave my life to the Lord entirely. I gave up my business. I stopped everything. All I wanted to do was read the Word and be with God. And I was broke. And here I was now, a year old in the Lord. I was living on peanut butter and jelly and pancakes and syrup. I lived on it. That's all I had. You open my fridge, peanut butter and jelly and bread and pancake mix in the cupboard and syrup. That's all I lived on for an entire year because I just so wanted to be with God. So I took what little money I had left and I literally went out and stocked up on peanut butter and jelly, bread. My freezer was packed with loaves of bread. I would just transfer it into the fridge as I needed a new loaf. And because I just wanted to be, I didn't want to work. I just wanted to live for God. So here I am a year later, and it's a long story. I ended up getting back into business, and I started running a business, and it was tanking really bad, and I was $70,000 in debt, going about $5,000 of debt more every month. I was bringing in about $10,000. My expenses were about $15,000. And so how many of you know that doesn't really work out very well? So I was at this point 70 grand in debt. I was at the verge of having a nervous breakdown, actually did end up having a nervous breakdown, laid in my bed, unable to move. And I had a girlfriend at the time. She came over at one point, she's dousing me in. She had a big basin of ice water and bath towels, and she's like soaking it and just laying it because I had a fever, like unbelievable. And I was like in a pool of water just from my own sweat in the bed. I couldn't move. My brother called her and said, "You got to come over. I don't know what to do." You know, I mean, I was pounding three extra strength Tylenols in the morning, three in the afternoon, three in the evening, just to maintain my headaches because I was under so much pressure for my business. I'm trying to tell a long story short. It's hard to do this, but anyhow, so she's like dousing me, you know, trying to keep my temperature down because I refuse to go to the hospital. You know how I am. So, sound familiar? So anyhow, after it was the second day. I'm laying in bed. I got gross motor movements back. That's it. I mean, I could just kind of barely move around. I slid off my bed. Now, to understand this, I was in a backslidden state. I'd been walking with the Lord for about a year. The Lord told me to go back to Ohio. I was in Florida. I was studying the Word. The Lord told me to go back to Ohio. And on the way back here, He gave me a vision while driving in the car in my mom's living room. I saw all these people sitting on a couch. And the Lord gave me a full-on vision. I mean, I'm driving. I don't see the freeway. I just see a vision of my mom's living room, and I see all these people sitting there, and He said, "These all have been cried out for more of Me, and I want you to give it to them," right? And then He gives me this download. Actually, it's the other way around. He gave me a download of a sermon, and then He gave me the vision, and it was about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I got back, and long story short, I tried to tell everyone, you know, I called them all up. They all rejected me, said, you know, because they'd heard that I was in this cult down in Florida. I didn't know they were hearing all this and thinking all this, and so no one wanted anything to do with me. My whole family wrote me off. They're all like, "You're a fanatic. You know, we don't want anything to do with you." I was rejected by them, rejected by all my best friends. Everyone just wrote me off. No one wanted to talk to me. And, you know, I've got this vision from God. I've got a word from God. And now no one wants to listen to me. And I felt like God's not doing anything to help me. And I just got really angry with God. I was very young. I was very immature and stupid. And I got mad at God. And so then I took off, went out to California, I got involved in this business, and now I'm $70,000 in debt, and I have a nervous breakdown. I slide off the bed, I fall on my knees, and I just said, "God, please forgive me for my whole attitude, my bad attitude. The happiest days of my life is when I was just walking with You. Now I'm utterly miserable. God, please, I just want You back in my life. I don't care about anything else, I just want You back in my life." I felt literally like someone had opened up an air conditioning vent right over my head and a cool breeze started blowing over my body, and I was instantaneously healed, 100%. I could have gone out and played basketball right there and then. I mean, I was just like, dun, 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 just rock and roll, just totally healed. Now I'm fired up. I'm lit. I'm like, "Yes, my God, you know, He is just so awesome." And then it hit me. "Yes, and I'm $70,000 in debt." And so I said this to my God, "God, I know You don't care about money, but Lord, I'm in such debt. Lord, I just pray that You would just do something to get me out of this debt. Lord, do something. Are You willing? Will You do something to get me out of this?" Tithe. That's what I heard from the Lord. One word, tithe. Well, I've known about tithing. I'd read it. I'd even told other people that they need to tithe. And I was tithing until I got mad at God. And I quit tithing. And I told God, I said, "I'm not going to tithe. I'm not going to read the Bible. And I'm not going to tell anybody about Jesus until You tell me what's going on." I mean, you know, just, I was having a temper tantrum, you know. Yeah, another very wise move. So here I was, you know, 6 months later, broke, nervous breakdown. So God says tithe, right? It's a long story. I'm trying to shorten all this up. I go into my bathroom. I'm brushing my teeth. This is 20 minutes after the Lord says this to me. My brother is in the other room. He comes into the room. I'm brushing my teeth, and he says, "Brad, I feel like God just said something to me." about our finances. I was just praying over our finances. He said that we should tithe. Does that make any sense to you? You know, mouth full of toothpaste. I said, you just heard from God, John. And he's like, you praise God, man. He goes back in his room. I go into my office. You know, I get dressed. I go into my office. And I'm working like 100 hours a week trying to save my business. I go to open my door of my own office, and it won't open. And I'm like, what the heck? And so I knocked on the door, and my good friend of mine who was working for me, he's my employee, comes to the door, and he goes, go home. And I said, Greg, what are you doing? Open the door. Go home. I said, Greg. And he said, you are working too much. You need a break. Go home. I'm not letting you in. I'm like, Greg, open the door. You know. So he opens the door. I walk in. He goes, hey, well, since you're here, I'm going to ask you something. Come here, man. So he takes me into the back of the office. He has his Bible open in Malachi chapter 3. And he says, you remember a long time ago you were telling me about tithing? He said, I've been thinking about that. What do you think, man? Do you think I should tithe? And I was like, yeah, Greg, you should tithe, man. He says, all right, cool. So I finish up the work day. I decide I am going to take a two-day break, go up to L.A. I'm in San Diego, go up to L.A. By the way, this isn't my message at all.
This is really good. Yeah. You're
right. I did, didn't I? I prayed the Holy Spirit would take this, and he's this. I'm just riding on the wings of the Spirit right now. So I go up to L.A., and I knock on the door. It's two friends of mine. Their names are Gary and Kiki Whitman. And I knock on the door. Kiki Whitman opens the door. She goes, Brad, oh, and gives me a big hug. And he says, come here. I want to talk to you about something. She takes me over to a kitchen counter. She has her Bible open. Guess to where? Malachi chapter 3. Do you remember a long time ago you told Gary and I about tithing? We've been thinking a lot about it, man. We're a little nervous about it, but what do you think? Do you think we should tithe? And I was like, yes, Kiki, you definitely should tithe. You definitely should tithe. And so, you know, I finished up my two-day trip with those guys. I get back home. I don't know why I felt like I needed to be back home before I did this, but I got back home. I got on my knees before the Lord, right before my bed, and I just said, Father, you know, this whole thing is just so incredible. I mean, here I am broke, and I'm asking you to give me money, and you say tithe, but I get it. I need to tithe. So, Father, I make this vow to you. I make this promise to you. I've only made like two or three vows in my entire life to God, and this is one of them. I said every dollar that comes into my life for the rest of my life, the first dime is yours for the rest of my life. I get it. I will be a tither from now on. I had no money. I have to wait till money comes in. I have nothing to tithe from, right? So that's it. Well, over the next 2 weeks, every single day, my brother who's managing, I have three camera stores. My brother's managing them for me. I own them. He's the manager. He'd come to me every day. You're not going to believe what happened today. It's incredible. We ended up doing more sales in the next 2 weeks than the greatest 2 months combined that my business had ever done. Wow. And it did not stop. Within 11 months, I was completely out of debt and went on a television program because they wanted to find out what had just happened to my business. It became a syndicated program, went all over the world, telling the story of how I went from $70,000 in debt to the second largest volume producer of camera sales in the United States in 11 months.
Come on.
I had nothing to do with it. It was all God because I simply made a commitment to him that I would tell. Now, when all these sales started happening in the first couple, you know, days, I went to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, I haven't even tithed yet. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, the minute you made that commitment to me, you were a tither. The Lord isn't like a man. He doesn't have to see it. When I made the decision in my heart, at that moment, I was a tither. That's what he spoke to me. It was just so beautiful. I was like, wow. Isn't that awesome? He doesn't need to see it. He knows what's in your heart. I made the decision. I was already a tither. And the miracle of tithing began to happen in my life. The power of God. Now, all of that was to say this. I hope that's not my phone. All of that was to say this. For a year, I was completely sold out to the Lord. All right? That's verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to the Lord, which is your reasonable service. I was there. Where I was not was, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind in the area of finances. I was not renewed in my mind, and so I was broke. Love the Lord. He loves me. Sold out to the Lord. If I died at any point, I'm immediately rushed straight to heaven in the face of Jesus. Everybody's celebrating. That's great. No question about my salvation. But while here on the earth, broke. Broke. Eating peanut butter and jelly and pancakes. Because I had not renewed my mind in the area of finances. And, you know, during that, when the Lord spoke to me and said tithe, and then those three confirmations, my brother, Greg, and then Gary and Kiki, tithe, 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 that was all within a period of like 12 hours. I knew then, I need to understand this better. And for the next year, I just dove into the Word. What else does it have to say about money in the Bible, you know? I read every scripture there is in the Bible on money. And I became renewed in my thinking about money. And I realized I'd been duped. I'd been thinking just stupid stuff about money. God's very much interested in money. Remember my prayer to God, God, I know you don't care about money. But if you're willing to help me, what God showed me in His Word was I care very much about money. I'm the one that put it on the earth. He says, the gold is mine and the silver is mine, says the Lord. Do you hear that possessiveness? The Lord says, it's all mine. He cares about it. And He didn't put it on this earth for the devil and his children. Right. It's not for the porno kings to be flying around in jets. That's not what God put it here for. Right. He put it here for His kids and for His kids to show forth His benevolence in the earth. And I'll have you know, I became one hilarious giver and was giving enormous amounts of money during that time. You know, as money was flowing, man, I was just giving and still am. I mean, you know, you just... That's what God's looking for, is for us to be like Him. So it wasn't, God wasn't just giving me a bunch of money so I could hoard it up. I studied His Word, and His Word says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Well, who makes the first step? Who makes the first step? We do. Give, and it shall be given unto you, right? I said, Lord, I will tithe. I made that first step, and then the Lord moved. And as I continued to give, the Lord continued to bless my life. So this is a father and son business. God wants us to get involved in His business and become hilarious givers in the earth. So that's just one area. Then there's the area of healing. I was still dealing with sickness just like everybody else. Just normal, right? This is normal. Everyone gets sick. You know, of course. I mean, you know, everyone gets sick. I mean, that's a mindset that we have, and yet, you know, the Bible teaches something entirely different. The Bible says that by His stripes, we were healed. We don't have to walk in that, but it takes a renewing of the mind. There's so many things that God has for us, but we're not going to walk in them and prove out His will unless we renew our mind by the Word of God. Now, let me just say this, backing up to the first part of that verse 2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, right? Let's talk for just a second about the conforming to this world. You know, your mind, kind of picture it like if I had a big bucket, I thought about doing this, have a bucket of water up here that's a little bit murky. You know how I always refer to us as having mud for brains? That would kind of represent us when we first give our life to Christ. The spirit below that is pure, just crystal clean water, but the mind is still murky because it's been stained or tainted with the sin that's in this world. What God is saying to us is that we must renew our mind by pouring in the Word, which is fresh, pure, clean water. And as you do that, how many of you know that murky water just gets cleaner and cleaner as the other part just starts to spill over, the water gets changed over, and pretty soon it becomes just like your spirit. It comes into agreement with your spirit. It's identical because it becomes just like it. But I want you also to know that it would be silly to think that I could be pouring pure water in there and at the same time pouring in more muddy water and thinking I'm going to get anywhere. That's why it's not enough to just put in the Word of God into your mind, but you must cut off the influences of this world. Now, I grant it, you would live in this world, as long as we live in this world, we're not going to be able to cut it off 100%, but I'm telling you, you can cut it off significantly, like 90%+, just by taking very practical steps, like, what are you watching all the time on TV? You know, what we often think are just innocent sitcoms. I don't watch one single program and haven't for years on TV because they are laden with the philosophy and the garbage of this world. So I know I'm meddling a little bit. Let me meddle a little bit more. All of that stuff that you're taking in, you don't even realize because it is done sometimes overtly, but most of the time very subtly. And I want you to know the subtle lies are the most powerful ones. It's not the blatant ones. The blatant ones, you see it for what they are. You're like, whatever, I reject that. The subtle ones, you know, the humor, the sexual innuendos, you know, when I was over, I was at my girlfriend's house last night and this is what happened, blah, blah, and everyone laughs. You know, what was just communicated was, of course, I'm sleeping at my girlfriend's house and everyone laughs and they intentionally give you this feeling like, well, of course, you know, I mean, everyone does. And so you start to feel this, the point is to make you feel like the outsider. Because no one wants to feel that. It's based on pure peer pressure to get you to conform. Right? 30 years ago, there was maybe 40 years ago, virtually no sex scenes on TV. Now it's in virtually everything that's on there. And it's between unmarried people. And, you know, and on it goes. So in the area of sickness, we're just told it's normal, it's normal, it's normal. Not according to the Word. In the area of depression, we're told, well, it's normal, everyone deals with it. Not according to the Word. In the area of finances, being, you know, people struggling financially, that's normal. Not according to the Word. And so this conformity, what we need to do is be very careful what we're taking in through our eyes and through our ears. Jesus says, take heed what you hear. In case you think I'm kind of like being a big prude and stick in the mud right now, I just want to give you some words from the Lord himself. How about Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 23? My son, pay attention to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Listen to this. Guard your heart with all diligence. Listen to the strength of that language. Guard your heart. And it says, with all diligence. So you hear the language of the Lord? When I'm talking about TV programs, he's saying, guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it flows the issues, that word in the Hebrew is forces of life. It comes out of your heart. And so we cannot be pouring in all this junk and expecting that we're just going to have pure life coming out. No, we've got to cut off the garbage that's going in and pour in God's word into our heart. And then we will see that transformation process. And then we will prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. In all of our life around us, we will affect other people and we'll be able to show them. When you lay hands on a sick person and they get healed, how many of you know they will experience the love of God in that process? It will change them. Because you prove God's will. They'll say when they get healed, wow, this is God? He wanted me well all this time. He's not the one that's wanted me sick all this time. You just proved to them the will of God is that they would be well, not that they would be sick. Yes? Which one? Proverbs 4:20 to 23 maybe? Okay, Proverbs 4:20 to 23. So that's it. That's how we prove out the will of God. One, we commit ourselves to the Lord wholly, and this is a continual thing that we do daily. Two, we shut off the influences of the world coming in. Three, we increase the influence of God into our lives by meditation in His Word. Amen? Praise God. 25 after.
That was good.